How's the hole in your roof?
Hole in the roof is still there.
Good.
Still have a hole.
All right. It didn't fix itself?
It did not. Sure. I tried turning my house off and turning it back on again.
Did you try unplugging it? Just restart it.
That's my solution to most problems.
Yeah.
It did not work.
Shucks.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick?
And that's it. No Elise.
Oh, look out.
This week. Elise is gone.
Having some bro time on the podcast.
Yes. I don't believe she became famous since last week's episode.
We don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
she became successful
maybe
and she's out.
Maybe she'll be coming back and she'll be talking about all the fame and fortune. Maybe by the time this podcast releases, she'll be like, oh yeah, I know Elise.
That's right.
You know, yeah. I was there on the at the beginning.
That's right.
Or maybe not. You know, we'll see.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But time will tell.
Hopefully, I believe next week she'll be back on the podcast.
We'll look forward to that.
Yes.
Because we all know it's a little bumpy when it's just you and me.
It is. Yeah, we need a supervisor, somebody to rein us in.
That's usually the case, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, just us boys on the podcast today, which is fitting because we are talking about dude-eronomy.
Oh, look at that. I'm just going to go on record and say that I know that that's not the actual name of the book. I'm not clear as to whether or not Patrick knows it or not, but I am clear.
Or a duet. Duet
anonymy?
Yes. Duet anonymy.
Yeah, that's hard to say.
Yeah. Which is both, because there's two of us.
Oh.
And we're dudes.
So we're a duet deuteronomy.
A duet of dude on Deuteronomy.
Yikes. This is getting worse. Okay.
Yes. Yes, so we're continuing our series. Every month we are going over the book of the Bible, so this will finish up the Torah, the Pentateuch, however you want to say it. The first five books.
Pentateuch's a weird way to pronounce
Torah. Usually, there's both mean the same thing. The books of Moses, typically described. And Deuteronomy
wraps it up.
Wraps it up, in a sense.
In one sense.
We'll get there. But first, we've got some news.
All right. What do we got?
We have listener news.
I love listener news.
A listener sent in some news.
Oh, listeners, thank you. We love when this happens.
Yeah, in response to what we talked about, I can't remember if this was last week or the week before. I think it was 2 weeks ago. We talked about candy in the candy store.
Oh, yeah.
And well, if you want a candy store, I don't have news on that. I don't know if it's ongoing or if it's over.
Yeah.
But I mentioned on the podcast that I like black licorice.
And we told you were crazy because black licorice is disgusting.
Maybe.
And apparently. Deadly.
Yes. Yeah. Headline here. Man dies after eating black licorice for several weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in fairness to black licorice, you could probably eat just about anything and eat only that thing for several weeks and it would probably not be good for your health.
Yeah. So that's the headline.
Right.
Here's the article.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it get better with the article?
No. He died after eating large amounts of black licorice on a daily basis. He ate a large bag and a half of the candy every day for several weeks.
Wow. I love that he stopped himself halfway through that second bag. He's like, no, this is for tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't save this.
I'm going to hold on to this one.
Let me clip this.
Right. Here,
put it in a Ziploc bag.
Nothing's worse than, you know, licorice that's gone bad after a day.
Yeah, so the reports of the man's diet was described as poor.
Yeah, sure.
And consisting primarily of several packages of candy daily.
Mm-hmm.
The man switched to black licorice 3 weeks prior to his death.
So he was eating other candy, and then he switched to black licorice.
I'm going to say this right now.
Didn't matter?
Black licorice did not kill this man. it's being blamed.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in black licorice that they will go on to talk about.
In the article, okay. Yeah,
that in large amounts, these chemicals and whatnot that are naturally
if
occurring.
If you are eating candy as your diet, and black licorice, okay. This was a matter of time.
But other candies don't have these same compounds and whatnot that attributed to this man's heart. And we should say, a man died.
Yeah, that's not
funny.
This is tragedy.
We're really sorry. But also, don't eat a bag and a half of black licorice a day.
Or really any candy. I mean,
really just don't eat black licorice. That's the safest option, you know.
Yeah, the Food and Drug Administration did say eating 2 ounces of black licorice a day for 2 weeks could impact your heart rhythms.
How much?
2 ounces.
That's not even that much.
But a day for 2 weeks. It's not just 2 ounces once.
No, I understand that. But like two, I mean, what, 2 ounces is like one stick of licorice?
I guess so. I don't know.
I'm just thinking like 2 ounces a day wouldn't be that unreasonable for people to think, oh, I'm just having one piece of licorice a day.
Sure. Yeah.
And then suddenly they're dead because black licorice is a killer. You don't have this problem with Twizzlers and Red Vines, just to be clear.
Maybe you do, because it also says you could just get this from jelly beans. So it's the same kind of compound in this.
In black licorice flavored jelly beans or in every jelly bean?
Yeah.
Because black licorice jelly beans are also gross.
Look, the same glycerides is...
That's definitely how it's pronounced.
It's found in food and beverages other than black licorice, including jelly beans.
Yeah. Okay.
Dr. Coletto says
so that. I shouldn't eat only a bag and a half of jelly beans every day for the next 3 weeks.
You should also not live off jelly beans. Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So,
but they have the popcorn flavored ones.
Probably living off of any candy for 2 weeks or months at a time.
Yeah.
Probably bad. You know, it doesn't matter. I don't think you're going to find like, hey, I cut the black licorice healthy. I'm only eating peanut M&Ms. Right. And I'm on the all peanuts. Of a sudden,
hey,
I'm,
peanuts are good for you.
Peanuts are good for you. Yeah, it's a thin candy shell.
Yeah.
So it's not a thick one.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, you want to be thin? Thin candy shell. Problem solved.
Perfect. You heard it here first, folks. The peanut M&M diet.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Mars.
So thank you, listeners, for sending
that
in.
Mars make M&Ms?
Probably. I don't know.
Mars or Hershey's? I don't know. Yeah. It's not Hershey's. Hershey's has their own, like, knockoff M&Ms.
Yes. Okay. I have another bit of news.
Okay.
This one's short, too. This is the headline from CNET.
I like when you start laughing at your news before we even hear what it is.
Yeah. This is the headline. Just opening the article, I want to tell you this. Not all rats like to be tickled, scientists discover.
All right. So, the scenario that I'm picturing here is the scientist sitting around one day saying, you know, my funding's about to dry up for whatever experiment I'm doing. What could I get some funding in order to keep my lab open? And he's like, I got these rats.
Do they like being tickled?
What happens if I tickle these rats?
Yeah, the picture here is of a guy tickling a rat.
Sure. And not all rats like it.
And he's gloved. Yes.
He's gloved.
So I'm going to tell you this. The tagline to this, after the headline, which is solid from CNET,
yeah.
Turns out it is a laughing matter.
It is a laughing matter. All right.
Yeah, so researchers at the University of Bristol in the UK determined that not all rats like being tickled. Some rats, are you familiar with rats? Have you owned rats?
I have not owned a rat, but I am familiar with their existence.
Like, I know that they exist, yeah. I also have not owned a rat.
I have worked in a lab where there were rats that were
evidently, some rats you can, like, tickle and they will laugh.
And some rats you can't?
That's not a blanket statement for all rats. Researchers just found not all rats like to be tickled. And some rats emitted very high number of calls, whilst others did not. And these calls directly related with their emotional experience. So if you're calling out, that's their rat laugh.
Okay.
The, like, squeakiness.
Sure.
They're, like, into the, you know, they're into being tickled. They like being tickled.
I like being tickled, right?
And some of them are just kind of grinning and bearing it, I guess.
This was science? Like, we didn't just kind of know, like, hey, some people like being tickled. Are we learning something from this? Is there some benefit to humanity that we now know some rats like to be tickled and some don't?
Yeah. That's a great question. That's how the article ends. That's it.
Good. Well, now we know.
What we've shown, here we go, from the lead researcher, Emma Robinson, is that the vocalizations made by rats in response to tickling are an accurate reflection of their emotional response and something which is easy to measure. We finally figured it out, people.
Okay.
Close the book on rat tickling.
Well, so maybe this opens up the doors to some other thing. Like, maybe this leads to the cure for cancer. It all started with the great rat tickling experiment of 2020.
Yeah, maybe rats just aren't ticklish. Are you ticklish?
I am ticklish.
Me
but
too.
I believe very fervently that being ticklish is a matter of willpower.
Okay, and like, so you can turn it off?
I can turn it off.
Okay.
It's my superpower.
Maybe rats are just turning it off.
I can be not ticklish.
I do not want to be tickled right now.
I do not consent to this tickling.
Yeah, so there you go. Researchers at Bristol have found out you can measure a rat's emotional response by tickling it. If they like to be tickled.
Yeah. If the rat wants to be tickled.
If they're not who wants to be. Consent was not, I think, a matter of experience here. But in reality, probably lab rats, and you're talking about consent, tickling is on the low end on the terrible spectrum.
Would you like to be tickled? Would you like to be shocked with this electrode?
Look, I'm just saying, like, feed me, tickle me, that's fine.
Okay. Sorry, I'm good. I'm up for those experiments. I'll even run that stupid maze for you, that's fine.
There you go.
Watch this, I'm going to take a wrong turn and the scientists are totally going to freak out.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
Yes, do you know?
I do.
Quiz.
I know everything.
What does Deuteronomy mean?
Second law.
Second. Oh, you got it. Second law.
Yes, yeah, and you thought I didn't know that. Yeah. It's from the Greek. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
So you had the first law.
You did.
Leviticus.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
And Exodus. Back half Exodus.
Yeah.
That's the sequel.
That's right. The law's back, baby. Don't call it a comeback. The law's been here for years.
Too fast, too furious. By Moses.
That's right. I love it.
Second law.
What's the one where they go to Japan? Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift.
Deuteronomy. What would this be like? Moab Drift?
Moab Drift.
I think they're in the land of Moab at this point. This is why we need a third person.
Yes.
So we don't make this joke. Okay. Yeah. Back to it. Composure.
Yes. So, Deuteronomy. Yeah, three parts.
I can't stop saying Deuteronomy now. Like, I'm going to be in church reading from this book, and I'm going to say Deuteronomy.
Do you read from it often?
I do not read from Deuteronomy often, but someday it's going to happen, yep. And I'm going to say Deuteronomy, and I'm going to giggle.
Yes. So Deuteronomy means second law.
Yep.
So here is the setting of how Deuteronomy works. All so right. Israel, we went through Numbers last month, so they are on their road trip, just wandering the desert.
Traveling. They've got their music picked out. Mm-hmm. They've got their snacks. Manna.
Hopefully not black licorice. Yeah. Sorry. Because they traveled for 40 years.
Right.
Not just 2 weeks.
Not be good.
Yeah.
And they're traveling because a lot of people weren't allowed to see the Promised Land.
Correct. Including Moses. Right.
Including Moses.
So all those people died in the desert.
Except for Moses.
Except for Moses. He's holding on. So they come back to the Promised Land.
To the edge.
And Joshua, one of the original spies into the Promised Land, is going to take over as leader of the Israelites.
The OG spy.
OG spy. Yeah. And he's going to take over as the leader. And so Moses has gotten on this mountain, mm-hmm. and he's looking at all the Israelites, and he's going to give kind of his final speech.
Yep.
His last words of Moses.
Let me tell you what I really think about you people.
A little bit of that. It's got a little bit of finally.
That's right.
I can tell you everything you want to know that I'm thinking right now.
That's right.
And then that's it. Then Moses is going to sit down, kind of look at the Promised Land one last time.
He's going to see it. Yeah.
And he's going to die. So that's it.
God kind of gives him like a grand vision of the Promised Land.
Oh, yeah.
Like he doesn't just like see like, oh, there's the land across the river. Like Moses gets to see it all.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So he gets maybe that means a vision of what's to come.
Sure.
Maybe not.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy doesn't tell us.
Deuteronomy does not.
Yep.
So really kind of a three-part sermon.
Yeah.
Classic three-part.
Classic three-point sermon. Yeah. just like every three-point sermon you've ever heard.
Yeah.
For those of you who didn't go to seminary or, you know, perhaps don't pay attention to sermons on Sunday morning, 3 points, very classic style of like preaching through the 80s, 90s, and early aughts.
Yeah.
You should have 3 main points and everybody should be able to walk away from your sermon knowing those 3 main points.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy kind of works like that.
It does. So
preaching, less so. At least my preaching.
Sure,
less
sure. So. A little more desert meandering.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't get into it. Let me tell you what I really think about you people.
That's usually on your like last Sunday.
Yeah, so our senior pastor is retiring, so maybe that's going to be his.
Right, tune in on November 8th. We'll find out. Anything could happen.
Yeah. All right, part one.
Yeah.
Israel, you're a bunch of rebels. That's what I'm titling this part.
I like it.
How his introduction and all through part one.
Rebels with a cause.
Rebels
without a cause.
Rebels without a cause. Yeah. They're all James Dean. Rebels without a cause.
Sure.
They're just rebelling to rebel.
Yep.
So this is Moses saying, all you people, you don't know how to do this.
Yes.
God has freed you from slavery, mm-hmm. and all you do is complain, whine, and want to go back, and nothing is good enough, is basically this first part of the speech.
Yeah. Which is what we've seen. Like, yeah. Every time through the story so far, God has done some incredible thing, like, you know, the Red Sea, or bringing manna, or water, or whatever.
Yeah.
And every time the people are like, yeah, but we want to go back to Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah, the...
Liners.
Yes.
Not that I would have been any better, but, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's easy to look back on them, but, like, yeah, it's probably... There's some truth to that to us today.
Yeah. We probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah. So... That's the first part, but it also includes maybe a famous section here, a little section from Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Yeah, I love this one.
I like that you know where I'm going here.
Yeah.
This is from chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. So, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Mm-hmm. So this will also, Jesus is going to pick up on this. Mm-hmm. As part of, in the future, Jesus is going to be asked, hey, what's the most important law out of all the laws in the Old Testament?
There's a lot of them.
And Jesus is going to land on two. Here's part one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. So Jesus will kind of directly quote Deuteronomy as he pulls this into the New Testament.
I think Jesus actually puts a twist on it. But yes, he's definitely quoting this, but he puts a twist on it.
How does Jesus put a twist on it?
I think Jesus, I'll have to go look this up, but I think Jesus actually says, you'll love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, instead of your might.
Okay.
And I think there's a little bit of like Greek versus Jewish philosophy that happens there, but yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's a whole another, that's not a whole other podcast. Yes. That's another 5-minute rabbit hole that we don't need to go down.
Sure. And this is called the Shema.
Yeah.
In Jewish understanding of this. Yeah. And this is an important...
Shema, yeah.
This is a very, very important section for the Israelites.
Absolutely.
For the Jewish people moving forward. These two verses are going to be this guiding light for them of what it means to be an Israelite, what it means to be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
This right here.
In fact, still, if you go into Jewish homes today, they'll have little boxes by their doorposts as part of Levitical law and stuff like that, where this prayer will be inscribed either on the box or on a piece of scroll inside of the box, because it's the Shema. It's a very, very famous and crucial piece even for the Jewish faith today.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is definitely a powerful section and a really beautiful quote here about how we are to relate to God. You know, this not only is God alone, God is getting everything from you. Heart, soul, might, or mind.
Yep.
You know, like... all these things that whatever is in front are in the forefront of your mind or your life, God is beyond that.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the idea here. So this is part of this like speech of like, hey, Israel, you've messed up. Here it is.
Yep.
This is what you're supposed to be doing. You're not.
Yeah. It's not that hard. Is what Moses will say.
Moses will say that. Moses does get into a little like it's not that hard. But Moses also messed up.
Right.
Moses is also not going to the promised land.
Right.
Well, yeah. So
what do you know?
Yeah.
Just a cranky old guy standing up on a mountain yelling at the kids on his lawn.
Yeah. So any other part here, this Israel bell that stood out to you, Pastor David?
Yeah, I just always love the parts where Israel rebels because I feel like it just connects with me, right? I get it. I get why Israel sees amazing things that God does and then immediately are like, yeah, but what about this? Like,
yeah,
why can't I have this also? And I feel that. And so I am regularly called out by those pieces of Deuteronomy and those pieces of the Israel story. I was like, oh, right. I would definitely have been mad about this, too.
Sure. Yeah. I can understand Moses, and I can understand the people all at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably part of my nature is I'm a little bit of a... I don't really care about rules. I'll be honest.
Good. Okay.
They don't really apply to me in my mindset or philosophy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, we both go to our kids go to the same daycare.
We do.
And there's an entrance and an exit.
There is. Very clearly marked entrance and exit.
And I'm going to tell you, it's way faster to go into the exit. You don't have to go through a light. And I do that. But if I'm coming out and somebody's coming in the exit, I'm like, oh gosh, these people.
Yeah. Right, so, right. Yeah. Like, even though you did it 30 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So. Are you a go through the in? Go to the light.
I go to the light, and I go. Yeah, and I'm aware that it adds time to my drive.
It does,
but for the sake of the community, because I care about people around me, I follow this particular rule because the entire community benefits when we all follow the rule.
Yeah, I agree, but I think that there's some asterisks attached to that for some special
for you,
people
that you should get an
exception. And I'm one of those special people.
You're the only special person.
That's fine. I can live with that. So I get the rebellion aspects. I'm like, okay, I get this. All right, so that's part one.
Mm-hmm.
part two.
Yeah.
The middle section of Deuteronomy is going to be a little, maybe I would say the most dry section of Deuteronomy. Yeah. It's a little bit of a Leviticus redo. We got more laws and commands. Mm-hmm, a lot of this stuff is going to be almost a, here's everything you heard before, here it is again. So if you're like, hey, what's this middle section is about? Go listen to our Levitico podcast and you'll get it. You know, this is kind of the more dry part. He's reiterating the laws and commands, how Israel's supposed to operate as a country with God at the center. We'll go into more laws about worship, the leadership structure, social justice, all those things, and introduce us, or not really introduce us, but reaffirm this covenant relationship.
Yeah.
And this is an important aspect of how Israel is going to relate to God moving forward as well.
Right, absolutely. How they're supposed to be relating to
God. How it's supposed to be. So what is that covenant relationship?
Well, the covenant relationship, essentially, you know, if you boil it down, it's saying, like, you don't get a king. Yeah. You're in covenant with God. God is your ruler. And so, you know, God protects you, cares for you, gives you this land, this offspring, this blessing. I think we talked about that in our Genesis podcast once upon a time, right? That's the covenant that was established with Abraham. You're going to be a large number of people. There's going to be a lot of you.
Yeah.
You're going to have this land, and you're going to be a blessing to the nations around you. That other nations are going to be blessed by God because of how you live into this covenant.
Yeah.
That's the intention. And so with that intention, God said that you're not going to get a king because I'm going to be your king. And instead, you're going to have prophets who are going to come up among you, just like Moses was a prophet. You're going to have other prophets, and you're going to listen to that prophet. This is actually from Deuteronomy 18. You're going to listen to that prophet, and if you don't listen to that prophet, then you're not going to be living into the covenant. So this kind of sets up all the prophets that will come down the line from Isaiah through Habakkuk all the way.
Yeah, and then attached to that too is very real. Like, if you're not, like, if you are living into that, you're going to receive blessings on your land, blessings to the world at large. If you're not living into that, you're not going to get those blessings. In fact, you're going to get curses on your land, curses on the world at large. So
It's an interesting play here too. And I don't remember if this was specifically Deuteronomy or just kind of the covenant at large. You know, God talks about blessing to the 1,000th generation, but the curse to the 3rd and 4th generation. That, you know, so remembering the transgressions to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who fail to keep God's commands, I think is how it is said. And I was listening to something recently and was thinking about the ways in which that's kind of a natural progression, that there are ways in which, you know, the sins of a parent affect the child and often repeat themselves in some capacity. I mean, this is not every circumstance, but you can think of, you know, how difficult it is for a child to break a cycle of addiction, or for children to break a cycle of poverty, or for children to break a cycle of other, you know, abuse, you know, things like that. You know, how often the abusee becomes the abuser. And all of these things we could say, like, especially in the ancient world, you'd look at it and be like, oh, well, that's clearly not God's blessing. Because blessing doesn't just mean like, oh, you have wealth and everything you want. Blessing is living into the promise of what God wants for you. And none of those things are living into the promise God wants for you.
Yeah, I think that, and this, not only is Moses going to say this, we're going to see this. This is something, this is a pattern that will be repeated over and over and over again. In fact, spoiler alert, the book of Judges is basically this pattern. This is, it's going to hammer home this idea. Live into this, you get blessings. Don't live into this, you get curses. You get curses, you're going to fall, and then I'll have to send somebody to rescue you, basically.
But I will. Yep.
Yeah, and so this not only is going to be a pattern that exists all throughout Israel, it will culminate in Jesus. That Jesus is that final rescuer who takes on the curses to give the blessing to the world. It's really, I think it's a really powerful, like, biblical metaphor that's here, taking place in this no-name desert, you know, Moses is there, that is going to be fulfilled hundreds, thousands of years later in Jesus. It's really, I think it's a really awesome aspect of the story. Absolutely. Even if reading a list of, like, ancient rules is kind of dry, I think this theme is really powerful.
Yes.
And really beautiful. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then the third part. Or do you have anything else?
No, that's great. Part three.
Part three, which is my favorite part.
Okay.
So part one, your
rebels with a cause.
Your parents rebelled.
Yep.
And they could not do it.
And you're probably going to rebel too.
Part two, more laws, commands. Here you go.
Don't forget all this stuff that you're supposed to know already.
Part three, you're going to fail.
You can't do it.
Yeah. You can do it. Like, here you are. I did my best. You're not going to be able to do
it. You're going to blow it.
You're going to blow it.
This is a great graduation speech.
Really. It really is.
Like, wouldn't you love to, like, show up to commencement and have Moses give your graduation speech? Be like, look, let me tell you about all the ways your parents screwed up. let me tell you some stuff you should do, and let me tell you how you're going to fail too. It's
good. Yeah.
I like it.
He's sending them into the promised land. It's not quite a pep talk here.
Not exactly, no.
Of like, you're going to mess this up. This relationship, these covenants, these laws, you're going to break them. Mm-hmm. This idea of you're going to live into the blessing, you're not going to do it. It's not going to happen.
Yep.
And you need to get okay. You need to be okay with that. In a sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he is going to call them. Guess what? Your hearts. You have hard and selfish hearts. Mm. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. The central part of you, when you are told the Shema to love the Lord your God with all your heart is not really built to love the Lord your God. It's built to be hard, selfish, self-centered, and to pursue the things that are in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your heart is for. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So that you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only are you going to fail, you're going to be, don't get used to the promised land, mm-hmm. in a sense. Like, you might be there, your kids might be there, your grandkids might be there, but at some point, you're going to get kicked out.
Yeah.
This is not a permanent solution.
Yeah.
That you're, this is...
Because you're going to fail.
Because you're going to fail, and your kids are going to fail, and your grandkids are going to fail. You're not going to be living in this promised land forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. In fact, this is a Deuteronomy 30, starting at verse 18. I declare to you today, this is Moses talking, because
it's
pretty much all Moses talking. I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land of the Lord, swear to your ancestors, etc., etc. But yeah, you know, choose life, but you're going to fail.
Yeah.
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 I would not call it a pep talk.
No.
But I appreciate the honesty, right?
Like, you do.
Yeah. And this is one of the things that comes up when we ask people, like, well, who wrote Deuteronomy? Or who wrote the Bible, right? Who's the author of this? And this is one of the sections that some scholars will point to and be like, oh, well, clearly this was written, you know, after the people went into exile. Clearly this was, like, added in to Deuteronomy at a later time. So, like, somebody came along and wanted people to understand that this was all part of God's plan and that's okay and et cetera, et cetera. And at one level, I get that. I get where the desire for that to come is. But I also think it's perfectly reasonable for Moses to have looked out at the people and been like, look, I know you people.
Yeah.
I've been traveling in the wilderness for you with you for 40 mm-hmm. years. I've listened to the music that you choose on this road trip. I've seen what you want to eat as far as our snacks and how you've treated the bathrooms at the rest areas, right?
Sure.
I get it. You're going to fail. And I just want you to know that you're going to fail. But Moses continues to say, but God is also going to continue to be faithful to this covenant.
Yeah.
Because at this point, God has really been faithful to Moses. And at multiple points, God has kind of said, all right, Moses, I'm done with these people. You and me, we're going to go start over. We're going to try this again. And Moses has kind of interceded for the people. And Moses is saying, look, God is going to continue to be faithful.
Yeah.
You don't just have to rely on me to intercede. God is going to continue to be faithful.
Absolutely. And it does end on a bit of a high note.
Ooh.
That I do think is pretty.
A pick-me-up, if you will.
Yeah. So that's the idea. You have a hard and selfish heart.
Yep.
You're going to fail. But a time will come when God is going to transform your heart so that you can listen
There's
and
more
love
than meets the eye.
Yeah, so that Shema that we mentioned at the very beginning that Moses always got, he is saying, you can't do it. But a time will come when God will kind of do it for you.
Uh-huh.
Like, he will fix whatever is broken in your heart, God will fix. And not only fix, but he'll change it into something bigger and better.
Yeah.
And I, you know, again, I think that this is pointing us theme-wise towards Jesus and now in to beyond Jesus. To now we say, as Christians here in the year 2020, you know, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, guiding us, fixing us, transforming our hearts, you know, doing those things that we cannot do on our own.
Yeah.
And... you know, and in each of us, one day, there will be a death, and then we'll have another transformation take place to further fix the things that I cannot fix on my own. And I think this is a really beautiful section, like, really powerful of, like, that idea, like you mentioned, like, even as you fail, God is faithful to you.
Mm-hmm.
God is so faithful to you that when you cannot meet your end of the bargain at all, God will meet it for you.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a pretty powerful thing that for Israel to hear as they're going to go forth. So even though it does end on a bit of a down, or it does have it's not a happy speech.
No.
I do think this aspect is powerful of, like, the time is coming.
Yep.
When your heart will be transformed into something better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. It sets up the rest of the story, which is the whole purpose of the Torah in Minikit, right? I mean, so we're wrapping up this piece on the first five, the Pentateuch, as you so graciously introduced it earlier. And this is kind of wrapping up that section of the story to say what we've seen over and over in the Torah is this pattern where God is faithful to a people who choose not to be faithful, who continue to rebel. Yeah. And now we're going to, you know, say, like, we know what's going to happen next, right? The rest of the scripture should not be a surprise.
Yeah.
If you've read this, you know, you shouldn't be surprised by anything else that's coming, that people are going to fail, that God is going to be faithful, and that ultimately there's going to be a chance for redemption for all of humanity and all of creation.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we believe that's in Jesus Christ.
There you go. Moses's three-part sermon.
Yeah.
Three-part speech.
A little wordy.
It's a little wordy. It gets long.
Yeah.
You know, the middle section is long. You know?
You know, I've often found that in three-point sermons, it's often the middle section that gets a little dry. Yeah,
that's true. You know, you got to capture in the beginning, and you got to end up, you know, get them out of the, you know, empower them, convict them, however you want to do it. Leave on a note that's memorable. The middle section is kind of the most forgot section anyway.
For sure.
Yeah. So, how do you think about Deuteronomy as a whole?
You know, it is not my favorite book.
Yeah.
Thematically, I really appreciate where it goes, but I think so much of it does reiterate for us what's already happened.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're not reading new information in Deuteronomy.
No.
You're not, other than this is the first time that we get the Shema. Yeah. And so we get that kind of, you know, really beautiful prayer. And there are some other really beautiful pieces of Deuteronomy, but it's not new information. it's a lot of repeating the story that's already happened and repeating the laws that they've already been told.
Yeah.
But thematically, it's a hinge point before you're like, hey, you're here, you're on the precipice of going into the new land. And so it makes sense from that perspective, because if I had been a leader of these people for 40 years, I'd probably want to have a final say before I die as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think as just a narrative, I think it's more fun to read than Leviticus.
Yeah.
It's
low bar, but it's more fun than Leviticus.
Yeah, it has a lot of what Leviticus has.
Yeah.
It's just a little more commentary, a little more spark behind it, I guess. It's a little more personal, so I think that you know elevates it, just as a work to read,
right.
Not as a, you know, it obviously was the Word of God. Everything, every bit of it contains truth, but just as you know a book to read, I think it is a more enjoyable read than Leviticus.
Nice, but safe. Yeah, that was good.
But I would probably say I enjoy Genesis, Exodus, and Numbers more.
Yes.
I think that they're just more fun.
Yeah, they're more fun. And they advance the narrative.
Yeah, or not just necessarily more fun. There's just a lot more going on.
Yeah.
A little more interesting.
Deuteronomy doesn't really advance the narrative of the story.
Yeah.
Right? Deuteronomy is kind of, it's in the same world, but it's kind of stepping out of that time and saying, like, let's take a minute to recap everything and remind you of this covenantal promise. And it's kind of like a bridge between, you know, act one and act two of a play, right? Mm-hmm. So you've let up, and then it's almost like the actor comes out at the end of act one and says, did everybody catch everything that happened so far? Let me make sure that you really understand what's happening before we go into act two.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah. A little bit of previously on.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the previously on.
or if you were in high school, you had to read, you know, like The Grapes of Wrath or something, and you read it, and then you're like, I don't understand.
And then
you go read like the Cliff Notes or Spark Notes version. It's the exact same story, only kind of a little shorter, a little.
And some parts make a little bit more sense.
Yeah, it's here to. It's
and other
here
parts
to,
are more confusing somehow.
Yeah, that's what it kind of is, you know, like a little bit of that. And it does set us up for, okay, what is, because Moses has kind of carried the story for four straight books now.
Yeah.
I mean, so it kind of sets us up for the Israelites. A world without Moses. What is this going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are we going to exist without this central figure guiding us?
Yeah.
And maybe that's going to be Joshua.
Yeah. And remember, all along, you know, we've been looking for that new Adam.
Like, yes.
From the time that we left the garden in Genesis, that was one of the first things that we said when we started this series. We're going to be on a search for who's going to be that new Adam, that new son of humanity is what the name will be throughout the rest of Scripture. Who will be that new figure that can trust God above their own will and that can actually follow God and that can, through that following, be the redemption point?
Yeah.
And so at every point, we've been lifting up these characters thinking this is going to be it, this is going to be it. And we've thought Moses for a while.
Yeah.
And now we're finally seeing it's not Moses.
Yeah.
And so Joshua?
Maybe Joshua's the guy.
Maybe. Yeah. Let's find out.
Yeah, and I think we have the benefit of, you know, hindsight. We're reading these things, but the people living it, mm-hmm. Moses is definitely going to be. They're thinking Moses is the guy. He's raised by the emperor, foot in two worlds, mm-hmm. royal and Jewish at the same time. He's marking off a lot of boxes, freeing us from slavery. Moses is making a powerful, powerful case mm-hmm. that he is that promised person who's going to come and crush that snake's head that was all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And he's not.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I mean, we're not really going to have, at least from our benefit of reading the Bible, another figure that really is like, this could be it until we get to maybe David.
Yeah,
for sure. Now, there are figures that are like, in the moment for a season mm-hmm. might be it. But like, we were with Moses for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We really lived into the Moses story.
Yeah, David will be the next major,
yeah,
what we'd call a messianic figure, right? The next major figure that people would look towards and say, ooh, is this it? Which is why then we get like son of David language that comes out when we get towards mm-hmm. Jerusalem, because they think, okay, it's going to be a descendant of David. It wasn't David, but it's going to be a descendant of David.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Which David's sons are all kind of trash. So,
yeah. They're really bad.
Like, Solomon was okay. Solomon. But even, like, Solomon's bar for okay is a little rough.
He's okay because the others are so bad.
Yeah. 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 Okay by comparison.
He's looking good based on how.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that closes down these first 5 books.
Close the book on that one.
You know, Joshua's going to pick up right where this leaves off. Mm-hmm. So it's not a big giant gap in between Deuteronomy and Joshua, even though for Deuteronomy closes the chapter on the Torah or the Pentateuch. We're going to pick up Israel with Joshua immediately after this.
Right.
Right after this, boom, let's walk to the Promised Land.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, there you go. That's our first series all about the first 5 books. Where do we go next? Do we go straight to Joshua? Are we going to ping pong around?
Oh, man. If we're going to ping pong, this is the time to do it.
This is the time.
Because if we go to Joshua, then we're stuck. Is not the right word.
It's hard to ping pong after that.
Yeah, yeah. This is a
fitting ending to the story.
Right, to the Pentateuch.
To the Pentateuch.
Not to the story.
Yeah.
The story picks up.
A fitting divergent place.
Yeah.
We've reached a crossroads.
We have.
We can continue on.
Two roads have diverged in a podcasted wood.
Continue on in a straight line or?
Take the road less traveled.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
We don't know yet because we haven't talked about it.
So if you've got an opinion, write in. Let us know.
Let us know.
What do you want to hear us talk about?
Yeah.
I'm leading a class on Revelation right now. We could do
that. That's a big jump.
Yeah. Right from beginning to end. You'll figure out the middle. It's fine.
Like we said, the middle in your sermon is right. The part. The middle of this Bible is probably pretty important. Yeah. Because of the middle,
the beginning of the New Testament.
Yeah.
You probably want to read that part.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
Revelation will not make a lot of sense without the Gospels.
It does make a lot of sense with the Gospels. So
It makes more sense with the Gospels.
All right. I think that's it.
Okay. Well, hey, if you liked what you heard today, we hope that you've been enjoying this monthly soiree into the books of the Bible, and we'd love to hear what you're thinking about Deuteronomy or any of the other books. And in all seriousness, if you have a book that you're just saying, man, I really hope that they're going to spend some time talking about this, let us know, and we'll be taking that into consideration as we take our next moves. But as always, you can like, rate, and review this podcast on all of your favorite podcasting networks. Ooh. You can visit us at beyondsundaypodcast.com, and of course, you can send us your thoughts at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. Which it just occurred to me. Is that like free advertising for Gmail?
I don't know if Google, which Gmail's a part of, needs.
I'm sure they don't need
our ad revenue here.
I feel like we should be getting a little something out of this. I mean, granted, I do have a free Gmail account with them. Yeah. So maybe that's what we're getting out of it.
Yeah, I think that's it. We'll call Google up. Right. Hey, we've been plugging your information.
Your Gmail for months.
For, what is this, 105 episodes or so?
Yeah.
We need a little back pay.
Yeah. I don't even need back pay. Maybe you gave me the email address, now just give me, like, the calendar. give me something else for free.
Sure. What do you want from Google for free?
Google Glass.
Google Glasses?
I want the Google Glasses, yeah.
I think those kind of failed.
Yeah, they did. They were
an
experiment and
failure. We are devolving.
Yes.
Yes, divergent.
Way down the rabbit
hole. Whatever, however you want to say it.
Have a great day, everybody.
Yes, we'll see you next week with more Beyond Sunday.